Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, good morning, everyone. First, again, I just want to welcome everyone to City of Refuge. And I also want to thank a few people. I want to thank Elisa Williams and our staff and many of you all who came out yesterday to help with the fall facility facelift. Have you seen the grounds, new plants, and the floor is all bright and shiny? Have y'all seen this? But thank you all for coming out yesterday. Well, in April this year, my daughter Grace was busy every free moment that she had, whether she's in the car or at home or even in between a game, she would continuously be studying. And I asked her what she was studying for, and she said, well, I've got the AP Environmental Science exam and the AP U.S. History exam coming up that I'm taking. And so she began to study rigorously. She took both those tests, and she said sometime in July they're going to have the results to those tests. And if you don't know what AP stands for, AP stands for Advanced Placement, Advanced Placement. But growing up in my house, AP stood for Asians Pass, all right? So, Grace studied hard, took the exams in April, and they said in July, around July 4th, we'll have the results. And she was working at a Christian sports camp and had very poor reception at this camp. And then she texted us on one of the breaks when she, I think, went into San Antonio and said, hey, I just got my scores, and I got a 4 on my AP Environmental Science class, and I got a 5 on my AP U.S. History exam. So we're excited about that, ecstatic that she got that. And I talked to a teacher friend of mine, and she said that only 17% of students who take the AP U.S. History exam get a 5. So it's very difficult to get a 5 on the exam. So she said to us, you should be very proud of your daughters. Now, I quickly shared that on both Twitter and Facebook, and her school did as well, that she got a 5 on the AP U.S. History exam. And here's the thing. We shared that because that's good news. Amen? And if you're parents like us with students in college, you know that an AP exam with a score of 4 or higher means they don't have to take that class in college. So she has 2 less classes to take in college, which I'm thinking is around $5,000, all right? I put a money to that, a little sum of money to that. But here's the thing. When I shared that good news, I did not get a single email, call, text, message, anything from anyone that said, you know what? I was really wrestling with being very discouraged and almost depressed. And when you shared that, man, it just brightened my day. It turned my life around, right? I didn't hear anybody say, you know what, last Friday night I did some things that were just so bad and I just was so weighed down by conviction and guilt. But when you shared that good news that your daughter got a 5 on the AP exam, it made me a new creature. Like, it transformed my life, right? I was jumping for joy. I was ecstatic. It changed my life. And here's the thing, that for most of us, when we share good news with a friend, a coworker, or on social media, that good news may, you know, engender some sympathy or people are going to rejoice with you, but it often will not change their lives. Are y'all with me? But I want to share to you today the call that God has given every single believer to share good news. And this good news will transform people's lives, both in time, their life on earth, but also in eternity. And the verse here, it says, it will actually make them and make us brand spanking new creatures in Christ. Are y'all with me? It will erase all of your sins in the eyes of God and will reconcile with God. Because again, even though it's a great achievement for someone to get a 5 on the AP U.S. History exam, it will not change someone's life. So if you have your Bibles, look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 16. Are y'all there? Verse 16, the verses that we read today. In our scripture reading, Paul says this, And he uses the word therefore three times here. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if any was in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's point number one is, how do you have a reconciled, eternal, life-changing relationship with God, with a holy, perfect, and totally righteous God? I've given you two options there. The first one is this: never sin and trust in yourself. Never sin and trust in yourself. Never sin and trust in yourself. I don't know if you've ever tried that, to not even have a sinful, selfish thought, attitude, but it's impossible. But if you think you're righteous enough, you can trust in yourself and say, you know what, I can be reconciled with God. I can have an even, plain, eye-to-eye relationship with God because, you know what, I never sin. If there's anyone in here who has never sinned before, from the moment you were born to right now, would you just raise your hand in the air? Anybody in here who's never sinned before? Okay. Someone made a mistake. They raised their hand, they didn't. I was like, someone raised their hand. Wow, that's pretty bold. So obviously that's not an option. But the second one is this. He says in verse 18, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Option B, the second option, have someone atone for all of your sin and trust that someone. Verse 19, name that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then verse 21, he who made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. If there's a verse I can encourage you to memorize, it would be verse 21. This is the greatest exchange the world has ever seen, the greatest deal the world has ever seen, but it's also the greatest injustice that's ever occurred in the history of our world. Because this is what happened. Jesus Christ, born sinless, perfectly sinless, he never committed any sin, and yet on the cross, he was treated as if he had committed every single sin that you and I committed, and he was killed for it. So an innocent, a perfectly innocent man was killed by a just God, was allowed to die by a just God for our sins. And that's why Jesus Christ on the cross, and if you're there at Maundy Thursday, Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? One of the greatest mysteries of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, since eternity past, eternity future, have always had an absolutely perfect relationship. Perfect relationship. You may think you've got a great relationship with your friends or your mom and dad or your spouse, but he had a perfect relationship with God the Father. But for that moment when all of our sin was placed on Jesus Christ, there was a break in the Trinity, a mystery we still can't understand. The perfectly unified one God, Jesus Christ, for that moment said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your face from me? We've enjoyed a perfect, loving relationship, eternity past into eternity future, but because our sin was on him, God turned his head. Because our sin was on him. And that's why it says in verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to what? To be sin on our behalf. Now here's the great exchange, the great deal. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So get this deal, get this deal. This is a deal of a lifetime. Jesus Christ takes all of our sin on himself. He dies on the cross. And if we put our faith in him alone, in exchange for our sin, he gives us all of his righteousness. Are y'all with me? Isn't that a great deal? He takes all of your sinfulness, and in exchange, by faith, you get all of his righteousness. Now, this is what happens. Now, God sees you and I, imperfect and broken as we are, through the lens of Jesus Christ, and he sees you as perfect. And that's why you and I now can approach the throne boldly because of Jesus Christ. We have access to God. We are on speaking terms. We're in good relations now with God because of Jesus Christ. And that's why Lee McElroy is right. This is the greatest story ever told. that we can have an eye-to-eye relationship with God. And this is how intimate it is. When we put our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. The teacher, the illuminator, the comforter now dwells in us. Talking about an intimate relationship, God now lives in you. Isn't that an intimate relationship? I joked earlier with Lee during the meet and greet time. She said, at 8 years old, I heard the greatest story ever told, and I sat there and thought, please don't say Charlotte's Web. Please don't say Charlotte's Web. The greatest story ever told is Jesus Christ came and died for sinners. But here's the thing. It wasn't just that alone, and I'm praying that everyone here today has put their faith in Christ. Here's point number two, is Jesus Christ atoned for all of our sins so that we can be eternally right with God. Jesus Christ atoned for, he paid for. Perfect God. Every time we sin, there's what's called a sin debt. A sin debt, and he paid the debt that he did not owe. He atoned for all of our sins. He became what's called the propitiation. He appeased God's anger by dying on the cross. Now, here's the so what. The so what is, the first thing again, the greatest deal ever, that you and I are saints. We're forgiven. We have a relationship with God. But he says this in verse 18 at the very end, and gave us, you and I, the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making appeal through you and I. We beg you, we implore you. That word can also be entitled prayer, like a mighty prayer. We pray you on behalf of Christ be reconciled to God. Here's point number three. Our life and our message and our purpose, again, of our new mission statement. We're equipping a diverse community of Christ followers to make Jesus Christ known. Point number three, our life and our message, be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Again, every other piece of good news that we share, we got a promotion, we got engaged, our child did well in a test, or maybe they got accepted to school, or they graduated. Those are all good news. But that good news will not change someone's life, both in time and in eternity. But the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, will change a person's life, both in time and in eternity. That's what it will do. Here's the gospel. I've written it out simply. Number one, God loves you. John 3:16. God loves you. This is the principles of the gospel message that we should memorize, so we'll be ready to share at any moment. God loves you. God, for God so loved the world. Point number two, your sin separates you from God. God is absolutely perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. And because of that, and we're unrighteous and we sin, it separates us from God. Though he loves us, he hates sin. Romans 3:23. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ died to forgive you for all of your sins. Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that he put our sin on him, and if we put our faith in him, in exchange, we get his righteousness. And point number four, trust in Christ and his finished work. Trust in Christ and his finished work. It's not trust in Christ and his finished work and be part of a church and try to live a godly life and go to church and give and serve. It's simply by faith alone that we receive this gift known as salvation, that we can be forgiven for all of our sins. And that's why Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is this, is someone, and the root word is also the root word for elder, presbyteros or presbyterian. It's presbyos. It means an elder statesman, someone who's been sent from another country to represent that country. And that's why I think in all these pictures, it's kind of dark, we've got the picture of an embassy. And a good friend of mine, his church in Denver is called Embassy Christian Fellowship because he recognizes that the church is an embassy. All of us in here, ambassadors sent from another kingdom to represent him in America or around the world. We are citizens of another kingdom. And so because of that, when we gather as a church and when we operate as a church, we're going to have different values than the world we live in because we're part of another kingdom. Are y'all with me? A good friend of mine, he works in federal law enforcement, and he was down in Brazil working on a joint task force with drugs in Brazil. And he said, I was stationed at the U.S. State Department and the embassy there. And he said, here's the weird thing. I lived in Brazil. But whenever I would step into that federal building, that U.S. federal building with the State Department and the embassy there in this building, this little piece of property operated as if it was in America. He said outside when I was at the market, I had to speak Portuguese and they had different cultures and norms. But inside that building, that little building in the middle of Brazil, we operated as if we were still in the United States of America. Are y'all with me? And he says, that's what the church is called to be, a little piece of heaven representing the kingdom. And you and I are ambassadors sent once to represent Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So if people wonder, what does it look like in the courtroom when an ambassador for Jesus Christ steps in there? And they'll see what it looks like. What does it look like when a teacher is an ambassador in the classroom? And they'll see that. What does it look like when an engineer is an ambassador for the kingdom? And they'll see that because you have different norms and values based on the fact that you're an ambassador. Write number 1 through 4 on here, on your notes, 1 through 4. Here's a four of the things that are used about Christians. Number one, we're witnesses also. So we're ambassadors. We're also witnesses. Number one, we're witnesses. This isn't in the thing. I just wrote these on the side. Number one, we're witnesses. Acts 1:7-8. Acts 1:7-8. That you and I are just like that courtroom person who's been called to the witness stand, and we are simply called to witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. You will witness for me. And you simply have to share, just like in the courtroom, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And so we're called to be witnesses of the work that Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Acts 1:7-8. Number two, Justin, you'll appreciate this. We're called to be farmers. Farmers. Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. 1 Corinthians 3:5-10. One waters, one plants, one sows a seed. He uses this thing that all of us in here are farmers. We are farmers. And so when we're out in the world as ambassadors, as witnesses, God is going to put other people in our lives. And some of us are called to plant the seed of the gospel, share the gospel with them. Again, God loves you. Your sin separates you from God. Christ died for you. Put your faith in Christ. That's the planting the seed. But others of us have been called to water. Maybe we water the seed. And others of us may be called to prepare the soil, to till the soil. Y'all with me? So he says, we are farmers. The third thing is fishermen. Fishermen, Matthew 4:19. And I will make you fishers of men. And he says, just like a fisherman goes out, maybe some of you went out yesterday, went out fishing. I have yet to meet somebody who goes fishing where there's no fish. Are y'all with me? Whether you have one of those radar detectors or you have some kind of report, people go fishing where there are fish to take them in, or if you have a net, to capture them. And he says, that's the analogy here. We live in a world full of men and women, boys and girls, who are separated from Christ, separated from God. And we offer the net of Jesus Christ to catch men and women, boys and girls. And the last one is this, soldier. Soldier, 2 Timothy 2:3-4. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, and Ephesians 6:10-18, the whole armor of God. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, and Ephesians 6:10-18. We are soldiers. Up to now, we've had a lot of very pleasant pictures. Ambassador, don't we all want to be ambassador? A witness, a farmer, a fisherman. Oh, I love fishing, right? But now the picture is you and I are in the middle of a spiritual war. Are y'all with me? Kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. And so when you're out spreading seed and trying to catch people and love people in the name of Jesus, it's not going to be easy because you and I have opposition. And that's why we've got to put on the full armor of God. So the last picture he says is you and I are in a battle. Jesus Christ is our commander. He's leading the way, and we're in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers for Christ. Are y'all with me? So all this stuff we're talking about is not going to be easy. Not going to be easy. Here's a big idea for today. We make Christ known so that people can have a reconciled relationship with God. Our desire is that people would have an eternal, life-changing, reconciled relationship with God. And that's why we make Christ known through our words, but also, obviously, our actions. What we say and what we do, the love of Jesus Christ is shared verbally, proclamationally, that we would share the good news, because we desire for everyone to have a reconciled relationship with God. Here's some community group questions for you to go over in your groups and applications. Number one is this: spend time praying for the not yet Christians in your life. Pray that God will reconcile them to himself. You see here, it says in verse 19, reconcile the world to himself. God is in the business of reconciling. He's the one who reconciles. He's the one who reconciles. We simply have a message to share. He's the one who reconciles. And again, since we're in a spiritual battle, and the God of this world has blinded people for the reality of their need for Jesus, we've got to pray. Number two, read 2 Corinthians 5:21 out loud. This is the greatest deal in the universe. Our sin was credited to Jesus Christ, and if we trust in him in exchange, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to us. This is good news, and so why don't we share it more? And finally, number three, where are you making Christ known, and what's your mission field? And that's one of the things we're going to explore as we really delve in this thing about equipping over the next decade, two decades, however long, is what is your mission field? What's your mission field? What's your mission field? Steve, you don't have to put that last slide up. I've got a different thing I'm going to close with today. So yesterday, my wife and I had the opportunity to visit Preeti. Her parents are here this morning. And if you know her, she's a very active member of our church. And about 2 months ago now, maybe 6 weeks ago, like I think towards the end of July, like many of you all in here, she was heading out on a Monday morning just to go to work like we normally do. And as she took the last curb and stepped down and was preparing to get in her car and head to work, she slipped and fell on the last little curb. And so my wife and I were able to go yesterday and visit with her and her parents and serve her communion, since she hasn't been part of the fellowship on Sunday for a while. We were able to give her communion. And we just asked her to just share her story, kind of all that happened. And she said, yeah, it was just a normal morning. And the thing is, I got my stuff ready and I was getting ready to go down and got down the stairs. And the last curb, so she went down a whole flight of stairs, the last curb right in front of her car, she slipped and fell. And like maybe some of you all, maybe initially was thought, oh, it's just a sprained ankle. She broke her ankle. She broke her ankle. And she looked down and it was swollen because it was now broken. So she found herself fallen in this condition she could do nothing to get out of. She was fallen and couldn't get out of it. She tried to get up and put her weight on it, but the pain was too great. So this is what she did. She had her cell phone on her. She had her work bag and her cell phone. So she began to call people. And so she first called another member of our church who had didn't answer the phone and left a voicemail. She called another friend of hers, and they too didn't come as well. So here she was in this fallen condition, calling on various people to come and now rescue her, save her, to help her back, get it back on her feet. So finally, she called Lydgie Abraham, who's here today. And so she called on, I love this, Abraham, all right? And Lydgie lives around the corner, and she got dressed very quickly, and she said in less than 5 minutes, the one she had called on to save her from this fallen condition was there to help her. They called the ambulance. They took her to the hospital. They had surgery twice to put pins and all kinds of stuff in her leg. And not only did Lydgie answer the call to deliver her from that fallen condition, she stayed with her for 2 weeks. Isn't that amazing? Not only did she save her, but she was with her. Are y'all with me? And as I was thinking, and when Preeti was sharing with us yesterday, every time she would tell a story, my wife would say, there's a sermon in that. I'm like, of course there is, right? And all of us in here, regardless of your age or ethnicity, were born in a fallen condition. Are y'all with me? We were all born in a fallen condition. And you know what? All of us made our vain attempts to try to save ourselves. We thought, we can get up from this. We can get right with God, only to find that we were unable to do so. And then this is what we did. We began to call on things to try to deliver us and save us. Some of us called on a relationship, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, come save me, come save me. And they couldn't save you. Some of us call on a career and making lots of money thinking that is what's going to save me and deliver me. And we called and called and called, and they couldn't save you. But you know what? Those of us who are here today who have trusted Christ and are reconciled to God, we didn't call on Abraham. We called on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ delivered us from our fallen condition. Not only did he save us, but Jesus Christ is now with us. Y'all with me? And that's the good news that you and I have to share. And that's why we make Jesus Christ known. And that's our desire as members and attenders and staff and elders, is that every single person in here who names the name of Christ would be equipped to make Jesus Christ known in their particular ministry, mission field. That you and I would be ambassadors, witnesses, fishermen, soldiers, and farmers, wherever you are, saying, this is where God has called me to be, and I'm thankful that I've been equipped to do that. Let's pray. God, we continue to pray for our sister and our friend Preeti. We pray for healing for her. God, thank you for all the saints at City Refuge who have cared for her, who have spent a night in the hospital with her and have fed her and helped her, God. Thank you for Lydgie and using her as a great illustration of Jesus Christ, God. God, we now do call on Jesus. We cry out to him, and we recognize that we have received by grace, through faith, the greatest deal ever. Jesus Christ took all of our sin, past, present, and future, on himself, experienced the pain of separation. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if we put our faith in him and his finished work, we receive all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to us, God. We're now justified. We're now reconciled to you, God. And God, I pray that message, like Paul says, we beg you, we implore you, would be on our lips. We beg and implore you to be reconciled to God. That we would be ambassadors representing another kingdom. That we would be farmers watering and preparing and planting the seed. That we'd be fishermen going out to catch men and women, boys and girls who do not know Jesus Christ. That we'd be soldiers in the army, recognizing that we're in a battle. Help us, God, by your grace, to be reconcilers, be ambassadors. Make Jesus Christ known. Because it's the only good news that will change lives both in time and in eternity. It's the only news that will make people new creatures in Christ. The old things passed away. It's the only news that will allow people to see eye to eye with God, to be reconciled with God, both now and forevermore. Again, by your grace, God, and through your Spirit, would we make Jesus Christ known? Would we share the good news? And it's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said.